Are you sick of this music? Me either. It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. Let's finish up our Big Ten basketball superlatives, and then we can. We also have some on the national scale that we can go over as well. Eli Hershkovich is going to join us here at 4:30 from the lines to give us his thoughts on the national picture in college basketball and also break down some of Illinois' marquee opponents on their schedule. I'll hand it back over to my friend Kyle Toss to lead us through.
All right. So we went through most overhyped team in the Big Ten and the team we aren't talking about enough. How about, aside from the top two, there's a consensus top two in the conference, Purdue and Michigan State. Aside from those two, which Big Ten team are you most confident finishes top four in the league?
I think we're going to go the same direction on this one.
I think so, too.
I do think Illinois's got a pretty good chance. I like their experience. You have two NBA-level guys in Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins. And depth can obviously help you in case of, knock on wood, an injury or foul trouble or whatnot. I think that that's all great for Illinois and that it gives them a higher floor. I think they have a pretty high floor in comparison to a lot of their counterparts. I just like Maryland a lot. And I know that you do as well. You get Jameer Young, one of the best guards in the Big Ten. You can make an argument that he is the best guard in the Big Ten, as well as Dante Scott, who's been around forever. The fact of Julian Reese now having a chance to step into a role as a junior, that he's had a decent amount of upside, and he's had flashes of being really, really effective. This could be the year that he really puts it all together for himself, and they've got a really, really good freshman class coming in. I think there's a trio of top 75 guys, including Deshaun Harris Smith, who's the preseason pick for Big Ten Freshman of the Year. So I like that squad a lot. I like Jordan Geronimo as a depth piece in that front court as well. So I think one of my questions last year for Maryland was that how much depth did they have? And I think that with the freshman class, with Geronimo as an addition via the portal, they have more depth now. And they've also had a year of experience playing together. So I like what Kevin Willard's got going there in College Park.
Yep, I'm with you on this one. I'm very high on Maryland. I think that they can – I think there's an outside chance they could be right up there with Purdue and Michigan State. I think they could – they have the ceiling to be that good. I still think Purdue's built for the regular season. Like, I don't even think Michigan State's catching Purdue. Like, Zach Edey's going to dominate this conference. I still have questions about them going into March, but in terms of that top tier, which is pretty clear, I think Maryland could kind of be on the tails of those two teams this year. I think they're really good. They bring back, I mean, as far as continuity goes, it's probably them and Wisconsin are behind Purdue and Michigan State in terms of continuity with their rosters. And Maryland's was a good team last year. They, for whatever reason, they could not win on the road, but they went 16-1 at home last year, 10-0 in conference play at home. So if they win a few more road games, I mean, they're a really, really good team. I think they will win a few more road games this year. And, yeah, the pieces they bring back, I think, are going to be really – like Jameer Young, one of the top point guards, not only in the conference, but in a handful of top point guards in the country, probably. Reese, Scott, the freshman class. I'm much higher on very good freshman classes when they don't have to come in and be asked to – be a star, or like even in Michigan State's case, like Xavier Booker, come fix our front court and play 30 minutes at center. Like I can never buy in on asking freshmen to be that big time, but Maryland's freshmen can be more complimentary. I think they're really talented.
That's a good point.
I like Maryland a lot.
And I was just taking a close look at their schedule. They only play Purdue once, and that being in College Park early January. So that's also
and they beat
an
Purdue in
benefit.
College Park last year.
That's true. I forgot about that. That will be huge, January 2nd, for the one lone meeting between those two in conference play.
Yeah, that's the other thing that we don't have time to go look through it now, but I would like to have the schedule, an idea of each team's schedule in mind, because that would help me a little bit too. That's not something that we have time to do right now, but that's an important point. To only get Purdue once is an advantage that some teams don't have. I just think Maryland is going to be a solidified tournament. I see them in like that 4-5 seed range of the tournament. I think they're a 13-win Big Ten team minimum. I just I think their floor is pretty high with what they have coming back.
I agree with you. Real quick, I will give you the KenPom projections. Purdue 15-5 projected in the league. Michigan State 13-7. Illinois, Wisconsin, and Maryland all round out the top five at 12-8, according to KenPom. All right, Kyle, what's next?
All right. Along similar lines, but on the opposite end of things, there's kind of a consensus bottom three, I would say, when you look at Minnesota, Penn State, Nebraska. I think every publication has those three teams, 12 through 14.
Yep.
Which wouldn't make the tournament. Those are going to be three pretty bad teams. I mean, at best, mediocre. Aside from those three, which Big Ten team are you most confident misses the NCAA tournament?
This is a good question. And I've kind of put myself in a corner here because I've said that Iowa is a team that I see overachieving in comparison to where they're projected. I said that I could see Michigan finishing higher than where they're slotted, which is 11, just above that top three, or bottom three, I should say. That really, if you're looking at the projected Big Ten standings based on the media poll, for me, it leaves Rutgers, which I'm a little scared to do and pick them because of their home court advantage, because Cliff Amore is a really, really good big man, and I have a lot of respect for Steve Peichel, but I don't think they have enough on their roster to really help him. I could be wrong. It could be another really stout defensive squad that is able just to grind out some wins and feed Amore in the post and get that thing done, but losing one of the best defenders in the league, really, you know, you could argue maybe two of the better ones in Mulcahy and then obviously Caleb McConnell, who was the defensive player of the year. He was co last year and then defensive player of the year solo the year before that. Cam Spencer was like their lone shooter last year that anyone really cared about guarding from three for the most part. So I hesitate to pick them. Michigan might be a better answer. I could see Iowa, but I'll say Rutgers. What do you think about? Is that a bad pick?
No, it's not. It's not.
This is a tougher question than it sounds. Like, you would think that, okay, just find one more team that's not going to make the tournament. It's not as easy as maybe, especially me trying to forecast this thing.
I just have a feeling that Rutgers team is going to be another really ugly group with Amore as your anchor defensively. They're going to grind out 11 conference wins or 10. They're going to be on the bubble again. Like, that's the thing. I think they could be similar to last year in terms of overall quality. And as you remember, they controversially missed the tournament last year.
That's right.
So that's right. I do like the pick. I'm going to, for the sake of argument here, I'm going to give a little bit more surprising pick here based on how you view the team. Northwestern.
Okay.
I think, listen, they were very solid last year. They pounded Illinois and Evanston last year right in the middle of all the drama that was going on. And Sky Clark decided they pounded them so hard, Sky Clark decided he's done. Right after that game, they had to come all the way back. It was a good team last year. They won their first tournament game. They gave UCLA a battle in the tournament. I'm not taking anything away.
Purdue, right?
They beat Purdue at home.
Yep.
I'm not taking anything away from the job Chris Collins did last year. I just think that has a significant potential to be a one-off. And I know they get Boo Booey back, who having that caliber of player back, I think does give them at least a decently high floor. Like, I don't think they're going to be back in the bottom of the conference with those other three teams. But you lose Chase Audie, so I think a ton more pressure is now on Boo Booey. I don't think he's going to be quite as efficient as last year because he's going to be trying to do too much. He doesn't have that second scorer to go to. And just looking at the rest of the roster, like, they play pretty well together. They were a good defensive team last year, but nobody else jumps off the page like, oh, I think that guy is really, really good Big Ten basketball player. I think they have some solid role pieces, but I don't know. I just have a feeling that Northwestern's going to get back to your average Northwestern basketball team this year and miss the tournament. I think they're not going to be in the gutter of the conference like they have been in years past, but aside from those other three, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Northwestern goes 8-12 in the Big Ten and misses the tournament and just kind of falls off. I wouldn't be surprised to see it.
I don't mind that pick at all. The fact of last year, how much scoring load was both shared by Bowie and Adige, and then Adige surprisingly stays in the draft. I don't even know where he's playing right now. I don't think he got drafted. I don't know if he was in a training camp or anything in terms of the NBA, but that's a lot on Bowie's plate. Now, he cleaned up some of his efficiency last year, and he was awesome. Like, he killed Illinois, especially here in Champaign, and very good defensive squad and well-coached last year by Chris Collins. But history is on your side, Kyle. The fact that they've made two tournaments in their collective history as a program, and even when they made the tourney for the first time back in the 2010s, was it? They brought back a lot of pieces that next year. Vic Law, Bryant McIntosh, Derek Pardon, and expectations of going back to the tournament, and they didn't. They ended up missing disappointingly, and I could see them doing the same thing this year.
Looks like Adige signed an Exhibit 10 deal with the Wizards right before training camp. I don't know if he ended up making the roster. He's probably on their G League team right now.
Mm. We'll see. We'll see how that goes for Chris Collins and company. If you want to win, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlantic League text line. Do you agree? Do you hate our picks? Anywhere in between, let us know via the text line. We're going to catch a quick break, come back, do our national superlatives, and then we'll get to Eli Hershkovich here coming up in about 15 minutes. You don't want to miss that. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Hey everybody, it's Jay Layman, former Fighting Illini linebacker, All-American. When I moved back to town last year, I needed brand new appliances for my renovated kitchen and looked no further than Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Unprecedented products, unrivaled service. I love their protection plan, and so will you. Visit them at appliance-world.com or at their physical location on Neal Street by Interstate 74.
Mom, she won't stop touching me. Breakfast stinks.
Guys, no phones at the table.
Family dinner time? Not easy. But you know what is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care. When you need convenient, affordable care for minor illnesses and injuries, you need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. Be seen in person or connect 24/7 online when and where you need it. Learn more at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Make plans to pop into Pia's at 1609 West Springfield Avenue for happy hour from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday with 16-ounce drafts, just $3.25, well drinks, $4. Taco Tuesdays get you big tacos for $2.50, $2 off on tequila shots and margaritas, $5. Get Mexican beers for $4 each. Go south of the border on Tuesdays at Pia's, then there's Whiskey Wednesdays and karaoke a few times a month on Fridays with $4 fireball shots. Uh-oh. Pia's is the place to party any day of the week.
Hey, Class A CDL drivers. Gale Ferrix Trucking wants to invite you to join our team and get a taste of what it's like to work with a team that cares about you, your home time, and your professional growth, as well as your paycheck. This is Operations Manager Donna Onstott inviting you to join us as we continue building the company you would have started if you knew then what you know now. Gale Ferrix Trucking. Call 765-793-7131 today. Our drivers are pre-dispatched, make a guaranteed minimum gross pay of $1,200 per week, have paid vacations and benefits, and are home every weekend and sometimes during the week for quality family time. Our openings are limited, so don't miss your opportunity with the top-paying trucking company in the area, Gale Ferrix Trucking. Call 765-793-7131 today. The days are getting longer, and our customers are booking us up with freight. Gale Ferrix Trucking, 765-793-7131, or email timo@gftlog.com.
Illini fans, for a limited time at Jet's Pizza, new popcorn chicken pizzas. Their tasty popcorn chicken on their famous BBQ, Aloha BBQ, Buffalo Ranch, or Bacon Ranch pizzas. It's new and a limited time offer, so don't miss out. Try any of the four for just $17.99, code BBQ. Their popcorn chicken pizzas are perfect to order while watching football with friends and family. Try their tasty popcorn chicken on their famous BBQ, Aloha BBQ, Buffalo Ranch, or Bacon Ranch pizzas. Just $17.99. Code BBQ. Jets, better because it has to be.
Bet like the pros with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circa Sports is now available in Illinois. Hi, I'm Derek Stevens. I've been a lifelong sports bettor, and I'm the owner of Circa Sports. We're excited that the Circa Sports app is now ready for action. Experience big app bets with high betting limits, tight money line splits, and more. Now you can download, fund, and bet like a pro from anywhere in Illinois. Download your new bookie today at circusports.com. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER or text ILGAMB to 833-234.
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Ran through our Big Ten basketball superlatives. Let's look at the national scene before we get to Eli Herskovich coming up here at 4:30 to fill us in on his thoughts. Kyle got us through some big picture national questions in terms of college basketball. I'm with you. I'm still in like preseason study up mode on the national scene. So yeah. Admittedly, I'm still trying to dive in and get fully locked in. But just for fun conversation, let's go through some topics.
Let's do it. How about the team outside the Big Ten that you're most intrigued to watch this college basketball season?
Some good options here. I think as I look down Bart Torvik, I like Houston. Like Houston going to the Big 12, I'm really interested by them. I like Jamal Shedd a lot. Obviously a guy that had a lot of success against Illinois in that tournament game. You pair LJ Cryer in that backcourt, thought to be one of the best shooters out there in the country. And just a Kelvin Sampson team that admittedly has played in an American conference that's not bad. I mean, they go up against Memphis. They face some other squads. But the grind of the Big 12, I think how that team holds up within that, I think is going to be very interesting. Because as we've talked about, the top of the Big 12 is still elite. Like, I think Kansas, Houston, another team that, you know, Baylor's going to be interesting. I think Kansas State post Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson is going to be interesting as well. Another one that I would offer up is Texas. Like Texas going out and getting Max Asemus, I think he's one of the most fun players in college basketball to watch. And then Tyrese Hunter's back. They brought in Caden Shedrick from Virginia, who a guy that I really liked as we were studying up on options for Illinois to go get in the portal. So I like Texas, and I'm interested in what Rodney Terry can do following, you know, he finished the season really well last year for Chris Beard, and a lot of questions, is he the right guy? They obviously extended him and named him the head man. I think the beginning parts of his tenure, particularly this year, are going to be interesting for me.
You stole mine. You stole my main one, Houston. I think Houston, being in the Big 12 now, I'm excited to get to watch them play high-level games all year long because they're always a really good – I mean, they're always a one seed, a two seed. They're always a top seed in the tournament. They're always – top 10 nationally. I think this is going to be another really good team. I know they lose a couple guys from last year, but you get LJ Cryer from Baylor, and I think it's going to be another great defensive team. I'm just excited that this year from January to March, I don't have to forget Houston exists and not, you know, and when they come up as, oh, Houston, the number, are they the best team in college basketball in February? I can't sit here and say, well, I haven't watched them play in a month and a half because they've played East Carolina and UCF or whatever it is. Now they're going to be playing in the Big 12, which could be one of the best leagues, if not the best league in the country again. So I'm excited to see that just from the perspective of it's going to be a really good, fun team to watch as they usually are. Yep. And now you get to see them year-round play really high-level matchups. I guess the other one that I would maybe go with is the defending champs, UConn. How do they bounce back from a national title with everything they lost? Sanogo, Jackson, Hawkins. But I think they reloaded about as well as you can reload. I think they're going to be really good again. Another year where I think they're going to be a national title contender. I'm really intrigued to see Klingon take over that starting big role. I think he could be an All-American type. You get Cam Spencer from Rutgers to in that lineup. You get a really high-level scorer as a freshman in Stephon Castle in the lineup. I'm excited to see how the defending champs bounce back from last year. I think it could be just as good of a team with the way that they reloaded.
I like that. What do we got up next?
How about the team in the preseason top 25 AP poll that has the greatest chance to completely implode and miss the NCAA tournament, a la a North Carolina and a couple other teams from last year? I'm not asking for the top five team because that was pretty incredible that North Carolina missed it. But in terms of the top 25, there's going to be a few of these teams that end up being pretty bad.
This is a tough one.
Can you pinpoint? I know it is kind of tough.
I think one that comes to mind is Kentucky. I think Kentucky could be a squad that definitely does not live up to the hype as a squad that's kind of in that top 15 caliber range. They're just so young. I mean, going back to the offseason, and it, had they lost Antonio Reeves, being able to keep him was a big thing for Calipari and company. But, I mean, they went so heavy via the high school route, which is it's hard to do that in today's day and age. Like, they bring in a really highly touted class, but I don't know the number off the top of my head, but how many freshmen do they have on this squad?
A ton.
Yeah, a ton.
I think it's off the top of my head, it's what? Antonio Reeves, Trey Mitchell, and the rest of their rotation is freshmen.
Yeah. Good call. Now, don't get me wrong, Rob Dillingham, Justin Edwards, DJ Wagner, I mean, those guys are studs, but they're freshmen. So I think that dynamic, and then, like, what matters, we talked about, like, locker room stuff. You mentioned Indiana. Like, what happens if things go a little sideways in Lexington and people are like, well, Reeves, you had one foot out the door this offseason, and you were, you know, hanging out in Chicago during a live period, and people were like, are you going in the portal or not? So, I think that Kentucky's a decent pick, in my opinion.
I am going to go with Baylor.
All right.
I think they lose all three of their star guards from last year. It was Flagler, Cryer, and Keontae George. All three of those guys are gone. They went and got Ray J. Dennis, stole him from Illinois. Some people will probably say, well, if Ray J. Dennis was at Illinois, you'd think he's the greatest point guard of all time. So how can you say that Baylor having him is going to be bad? I feel like Baylor almost went out and sold him on, like, you're the guy here. This is your team here at Baylor. We lost all three guards. You get to be, like, the star player here. I don't necessarily know if that's going to work out all that well. I think he would have been better suited in a situation like in Illinois or some other situation where he can be more of a complimentary, the missing piece, floor general type. I feel like Baylor's going to be asking him to do too much and just losing those three guards. I feel like Baylor's almost one of those teams that got, like, the, well, they're always good, so we'll throw them in the top 25, where I don't know if they're bringing back a top 25 caliber roster. I could see them just not being very good, especially with how good the Big 12 is, and now you add Houston to that. Like, I could see them being very mediocre this year with our boy Ray J. Dennis over there.
Yeah. And
that's who I'm going with.
I don't think that's a bad pick. I like your rationale. It was interesting. I was listening to Matt Norlander and Gary Parrish's podcast recently previewing the Big 12, and Norlander picked Ray J. Dennis as his preseason Big 12 player of the year.
Oh, man.
Which, if he thrives, sure, he's going to have a lot of opportunity. And look, he's a really talented player. I agree with you, though. I admittedly don't know the Baylor roster off the top of my head as well as maybe I will here in a couple of weeks. But him having guys around him to set, I think his passing is really good. Maybe if he has to be a 12 to 15 shots a night type of guy, if that's what Baylor needs him to do, that might not be the best situation, but really good player. We'll see what that looks like. Let's do one more quick one, and then we got to catch a break and get to Eli.
Okay. Because I had another one that I honestly am struggling to come up with an answer for. I was going to ask what team that's not in the top 25 could be like a national title threat. I have
no clue.
That's really hard. So I'll give my last one that's more of kind of a fun one applicable to Illinois.
Okay.
Any player in the country, you can add any player in the country other than Zach Edey to Illinois' roster this year. Because who wouldn't want to have a 7'4 unguardable big man? So right. Edey's off the table. Anyone else in the country, who would you most want to add to this year's Illinois team?
Man, that's tough. And this, we could spend an entire segment on this.
We could.
To go quickly on it, if I'm cheating and I just look, you know, who's in the preseason All-American list and see Tyler Kolek there, like a guy that like was one of the top assist men in the league or in the country last year, I should say, the preseason pick in the Big East to win it, to win player of the year, a good shooter. Like he's got that for him too, in terms of shooting like 40%+ from three. It's hard not to pick him as, hey, put Kolek out there as your point guard. Maybe he's not the most athletic guy, but you can, you have enough athleticism elsewhere within the roster that you can get away with a point guard that's going to make really good decisions and can shoot the three well. That's not a bad pick for me. Of course, you know, if you want to look even just in the Big Ten, I'd love to have Jameer Young. I think Ace Baldwin would have been a really nice addition as well. So I'm looking point guard, obviously, and I'm interested in who you say.
Yeah, it's probably Kolek for me. I mean, you're talking about, I think that's probably the best point guard in the country. So adding the best point guard in the country to this roster, I think would do a lot of good for them. I admittedly, there's probably some other names that would be intriguing, but that, yeah, that's the easy one, because I think if you believe that he's the best point guard in the country, which I think there's a good chance he is, then that's probably where I would go, because I think Illinois is pretty good at all these other spots. He's a guy that averaged 7 assists a game last year, just a perfect table setter, can hit open shots. Like, oh boy, that would be, we're going to see firsthand here in Champaign what it looks like to have a really, really high level point guard. He's good. I also like Ace Smith from Texas, who was in the portal this offseason, is just, he's a point guard, but he's, you know, he's just an electric scorer. I would always like to have that type of guy on this roster. Could you sell yourself on like one of the elite big men? I know that, you know, it's, you got danger, like adding like Baycott or Dickinson to Illinois, it would be pretty good.
It would be pretty good. Could you take Kyle Filipowski and just make it worse?
Like, what if you, Filipowski and Coleman?
Yeah, could you play those two together?
I think you could.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Fun topic, Kyle.
We should just have that one question be a whole segment sometime.
Let's do that. We're going to catch a break. Let's go to the Tapman's Towing phone line next to bring on Eli Hershkovich from the Lions. We'll do that, get his thoughts on the national picture for college basketball, and really dive in on some of these opponents that Illinois are going to face this season, including on Sunday against Kansas. Stick with us for that. This is The Drive.
Hey, folks, fall is coming, and so are great deals on the world's fastest mower, Dixie Chopper, at Champaign-Urbana's only dealer, Dedicated Diesel, at 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana. They still have some 23 and a select few 22 residential and commercial models at liquidation prices too low to advertise. Whether you're mowing your yard at home or 200 yards commercially, you'll get the best warranty in the business with 3-year bumper-to-bumper unlimited hours or 5-year bumper-to-bumper up to 600 hours that includes the engine, deck, and spindle hub. Go see Andy Bowman at Dedicated Diesel in Urbana for warranty details and best pricing on the world's fastest mower. He's clearing out inventory to make way for the new 24s, and no reasonable offer will be refused. Dedicated Diesel, 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana, that's just off Route 45, 217-328-0562.
Stevie J Broadcasting is proud to be a part of the Disability Resource Expo coming to Marketplace Mall from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, October 28th. Up to 100 exhibitors will share information and answer questions regarding resources available to enhance the lives of people with disabilities and seek advice in reaching out for answers. The expo is free and open to the public. Visit disabilityresourceexpo.org.
Eliminate stress at iMart Express. For a limited time, new customers get 40% off their entire purchase, protected with a free 365-day guarantee, covering both frames and lenses. Already fantastic savings, now with priceless peace of mind. Visit today. Get your eye exam next door. Then save 40% on your new glasses, made with free same-day speed and completely protected with our 365-day guarantee. Save time and money at iMart Express.
Everybody needs insurance, and that's why I love Kyle Lewis at Insurance Providers Group. This is Jay Layman, All-American linebacker. Kyle provides auto, life, health, and all kinds of commercial lines of insurance. They are my one-stop shop for all my insurance needs, and all my rental properties are insured by IPG. That's why you need to email Kyle at IPGINS.com. Kyle at IPGINS.com.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Amazing selection, price, and style. On hardwoods, laminates, carpet, and tile. Low prices on high fashion. Step up the flooring that gets a wow reaction. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Flooring Surfaces now offers beautiful window fashions. Our interior design team will custom fit shade, shutters, and blinds to any size opening. Visit the showroom to see the latest fashions from Graber and Hunter Douglas, or request an in-home consultation. Whether it's floors or windows, Flooring Surfaces has you covered. See us today at 401 Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. I've enjoyed talking college hoops today, Kyle. Let's do more of that as we go to the Tapman's Towing phone line, bringing our guy Eli Hershkovich from the lines. Eli, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good to be on with you guys. About a week and a half away from college basketball.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Does NBA satisfy the thirst for you, or is it just kind of a little bit of an appetizer before this college hoops thing starts?
I wouldn't even call it an appetizer. It's like a cracker. I absolutely hate watching the NBA. I'm not an NBA guy. I used to be an NBA over college basketball, maybe when I was like 5 or 6 years old. But yeah. NBA doesn't do it for me anymore, to say the least.
That's why we're friends, or one of the reasons why we're friends, Eli, because we are in the same boat on that as we go. Definitely big time on the college hoops, and it's just right around the corner. In fact, here in Champaign on Sunday, Illinois and Kansas in the charity exhibition game, so really excited to see what that looks like. It's going to be on BTN, so everybody out there that's not going to be in attendance can obviously watch that. In a second here, I want to get your thoughts on Kansas, but you put out your power rankings for the top 25 in college basketball on the lines. People should definitely go and check that out. Illinois at 21. What is kind of your, as we are gearing up for the start of the season, just kind of your overall outlook on this Illinois team and what made you want to put them at 21?
Yeah, I'm a little bit higher on them than I was when I was initially running through things earlier in the summer before I started getting my projections in and finalizing my model, which is how my power ratings kind of go for college basketball analytically. And I'm high on Illinois' offense and upside outside of point guard, which I'll get to in a second. But obviously it goes without saying, you guys, I'm sure, have hammered it on the head with Shannon Jr. and Coleman Hawkins coming back. You have two pros. Shooting is there too, especially with Marcus Damask, who I've always liked watching going back to his days at SIU as a lot of floor spacing and consistent floor spacing at that. I mean, you go back to the Arkansas-Illinois game in the round of 64. Those were bricks, not just from Illinois, bricks on both sides from three-point land. So at least Illinois got some three-point shooting. You add in a healthy goody. So I like Illinois' upside in terms of their ability to space the floor at a higher efficiency than they did last season. I don't know if Shannon is a higher ceiling, but just getting him back and his playmaking ability off the dribble, I mean, he's an explosive athlete. But the biggest question mark for me, which is a big question mark for all Illinois fans and those who cover it like you guys, is what you get out of Ty Rogers. And I'm not sold. I don't see much of the upside. I get maybe he's a bigger body point guard. It can kind of back you down and you could space the floor around him. I'm just concerned with his ball handling and turnover rate. And then the depth behind him isn't great. Maybe the reports for Harris are a little better than what I expect at the backup point guard role. But unless Illinois and Rogers really exceed expectations at that position, I still kind of see Illinois as that fourth or fifth, a little above middle of the pack team in the conference.
Yeah, Eli, right now, at least from what we can gather, it seems like the backup options behind Ty at this point, Draven Gibbs-Lawhorn, Nico Moretti, two guys that haven't played in college yet. Not to say that Justin Harmon can't slot in there for some spot minutes, maybe Sincere, but it is a situation, not only lack of depth, but just quality options behind Ty that leave a lot of questions.
Sure, and then, like I was saying, you add a guy like Gurriere, who's been in college for what feels like a decade at this point. It feels like he was at Syracuse yesterday, that he goes to Oregon for, what, a year or two, and now he's here. So there's experience. There's shooting, which there wasn't last year. I think Coleman Hawkins maybe has another ceiling to reach. Maybe you guys disagree with my take on Shannon. I just don't think – I think he kind of is what he is at this point. Not that that's bad at the college basketball level, but unless – and also Underwood, just at, from a coaching level, I'm not super high on him in a tournament setting. But if Rogers takes that next step, then we're talking about an Illinois team that maybe contends. I don't think that's that far out of the question. If Rogers is able to play and a really solid point guard, become a really solid point guard, then maybe Illinois contends for a Big Ten championship. Again, I don't think that's that far-fetched, but I also don't see that in the realm of expectation.
Yeah, assertiveness and consistency for Shannon definitely is things that he can improve on, and obviously show more of his A game more consistently. It would be a big thing for Illinois, and Illini fans would like to see that on Sunday against the number one ranked Kansas Jayhawks, a familiar face obviously in Bill Self coming to town, first time in 20 years that he'll be inside the State Farm Center. Kansas bowed out in the second round last year. They did go out and get Hunter Dickinson in the portal. They have a number of talented pieces. You have them slotted at number one in your power rankings. What makes Kansas the best team in the country in terms of your rankings going into this season?
Yeah, I mean, this offense, granted, the shooting, we touch on shooting with Illinois and how they've improved that area. The one deficiency for Kansas is three-point shooting, at least when you lose a guy that shoots it at above 40% in Grady Dick, who's now in the pros, NBA, in the upcoming season. But with that said, I mean, Juwan Harris is going to seemingly take a massive leap at the point guard level. That's one of the best facilitators in college basketball. And then it goes without saying, you add in Hunter Dickinson, who Illinois fans are certainly familiar with and I'm sure will be booing, and then some on Sunday during that exhibition game. Maybe those boos also gravitate towards Bill Self. Who knows? Maybe I'll take your guys' temperature on what Illinois fans are feeling towards Self. But in terms of my rankings and with Kansas's upside, what the Jayhawks were lacking last year was a true low post presence, because that's what Self teams typically play through, is that dominant, whether it's 6'11", 6'10", 7' big. When you look at Kansas's best teams, whether it's all the way back to Perry Ellis, what, a decade or so ago, and then this year with Dickinson, I think the two-man game between Harris and Dickinson is going to be the most lethal, if not the most lethal, guard-forward combos in college basketball. KJ Adams is one of the better glue guys in the country. McCollar, another guy that's been in college for a long, long time, but veteran guard that, or I guess wing, but can handle it and space the floor too. Timberlake, getting him, we'll see if he can make that jump from mid-major to the high major level, but I expect him to do so. Outside of Timberlake, there isn't a ton of shooting, but the upside in this lineup, also within the landscape of college basketball, I don't think there's a kind of what we saw from 2 years ago. There isn't that clear-cut dominant team in my power ratings, and also just the way I kind of view college basketball within the top 10. I think the title race, we're going to have another year where it's kind of wide open, but With that said, I do think Kansas is number one with the addition of Dickinson, a guy that himself can kind of go back to the offense that he is most comfortable with, having a big like that that you can play around, almost like in comparison, apples to oranges. But if Rodgers takes that next step for Illinois and you could play around him and post up a guard like that, Kansas's offense are so much better when you have a dominant big like Dickinson in it.
Eli Herskovich is our guest on the Tapman's Towing phone line. You can read his stuff at thelines.com. Like I said, he just put out his power rankings for the upcoming season. You definitely want to check those out. Looking down the road a little bit more, in about 3.5 weeks, 4 weeks from now, Illinois is going to see Marquette in the Gavitt games. I know in the AP poll, you know, they're considered a top 10 team. You have them just outside the top 10 at number 11. We know Tyler Kulik is considered one of the best point guards out there in the country. What are you seeing from – you mentioned earlier with Brad, one of the knocks here recently on Shaka is tournament success or lack thereof. But what do you kind of think big picture on the Golden Eagles?
Yeah, I'm not – I know I have Marquette at 11, but I'm actually not super bullish. Just – I mean, you look at other projections and they have them – some other college basketball rankings, power ratings, whether it's betting or not, have them top five, top four, even top two I've seen in a couple. And the loss of – I mean, I understand you still have a rim-protecting presence up front. Kulik is one of the better guards in the country, as you alluded to. Joplin should be able to bolt into the starting lineup, and he could space the floor, so that's kind of what Shaka wants around Iguodaro. But losing Maxence Prosper is one of the bigger losses in the country. And for college basketball fans, Illini fans that are unfamiliar with him, four-man for Marquette last year, really good cutter in Shaka's, whether you want to call it a motion or kind of like a spacing high slot is the way I look at it, offense. His ability to play without the ball, and then defensively, his length. I put this in my power rankings, but opponents shot 24% when Prosper was the nearest defender, and 26.3%, so just over, around 2% over the initial metric when he contested a shot. His length and his ability to defend with a defense overall that was pretty susceptible is a pretty massive loss for a Marquette defense, again, that I think is going to undergo some regression at that end of the floor. So offensively, Marquette should be one of the better teams efficiency-wise in the country, but losing Maxence Prosper at the other end, I think it's going to be a pretty glaring deficiency that I don't think is accounted for enough. And I know I knocked Illinois' upside, at least at the point guard position, but for anybody looking to bet that game, Illinois-Marquette coming up here in 2-3 weeks, I think Illinois trying to target Marquette early on in the season, especially with a team like Illinois and a road game, a road environment for Marquette, is a really, really good look. Just it's number dependent. I don't want to say bet it automatically, but it's definitely worth a look to play Illinois in that game.
Eli, two more teams Illinois is going to see in December who are ranked in the top 10 in the AP poll, at least, Florida Atlantic, Tennessee. Appears that you feel pretty differently about those two teams, Florida Atlantic not in your top 25. What makes you maybe a little lower on the Florida Atlantic team that just went to the Final Four, and then on the opposite end, Tennessee, you have them in your top five. What do you like about the Vols?
Yeah, start off with the second team you mentioned, I guess, and then we'll get to FAU. Tennessee is always going to be one of the best teams in the country. Maybe depends on if you lose a key defender here and there like any roster, but outside, you want to talk about another guy that has been unable to make a deep tournament run, that's Rick Barnes. But regular season-wise, this is always going to be a top-five defense, and you're bringing back Vescovi, you're bringing back Josiah Jordan-James, one of the better four defenders at that power forward spot. Doesn't shoot the ball at a super efficient clip, but really hyper-efficient defender at that end of the floor. And Dew is a very, very sound rim protector. So Tennessee is always going to have that upside, maybe matchup-dependent in the tournament, but upside to be a top-five team because of the athlete Rick Barnes has at the defensive end. And then you add in a mid-major transfer in Dalton next, who I think can really help Tennessee's offensive efficiency in regards to spacing the floor. The question is whether, A, when Zakai Ziegler comes back from that torn ACL, but also what level of explosiveness he's at when he does. I don't think he's going to be coming back till at least early in conference play, or at the earliest, maybe late in non-conference play. So outside of, you know, we could talk about Tennessee when it comes to March Madness. We're going to have that conversation another day, but Tennessee is going to be in the top five, top 10 because of what Rick Barnes has defensively. Now, FAU, when you speak to college basketball analysts, non-betters, I should say, they're going to have them in their top 10, maybe top 20 at the least. But when you go back to that Memphis game, this is kind of what we see. And I know Wichita State may be the example that doesn't necessarily speak to this amongst the majors over the last couple of decades that are able to undergo success in March Madness, but then don't sustain it the following season. I think FAU is going to be one of those teams, because if you go back to the Memphis game in the first round, if Kendrick Davis doesn't get hurt, FAU probably loses that game. And he was dealing with some injuries throughout the season, but he exits with around 5 to 6 minutes to go. FAU capitalizes, makes a run. Then Davis, when he comes back in the game, is kind of banged up. And then they play a 16 seed in the second round. All right. And then you get Tennessee in the Sweet 16, a team that can't shoot and has all those offensive deficiencies. And FAU was able to take advantage in the second half when they got hot from three. And then you take on a Kansas State team that probably shouldn't have been in the Elite Eight to begin with, if Kentucky takes care of business in the round of 32 against them. So there are so many different scenarios, right? And I'm sure you're one or many of your listeners may combat me by saying, okay, well, what, you could play the what-if card with any team. That's true, but with a team that doesn't have as high of a floor as FAU, they may have a high floor even though they're making a jump in terms of conferences. They're still at the mid-major level, mind you, but when you get to March, one game variance is such a big factor, especially when you're talking about a team that doesn't have as high as a floor as some of these elite mid-majors, maybe more so than FAU, or then you're talking about the next level of high majors. So maybe FAU gets back to the dance, even though they're making that jump to the AAC. But when you talk about variance in the tournament, FAU got the benefit of that variance. I don't see them getting the benefit as much in conference play, making the jump to the AAC. And if they make the tournament, I certainly don't see them getting that sort of whatever, whether you want to call it negative regression going their way in a negative sense or however you want to view it. I don't see FAU making that Sweet 16 even run this year.
Eli, as a side note, as someone that bet Memphis to make the Sweet 16 and then picked them in the Final Four, that one hurt me quite a bit last year. That was a sore spot for me. But I want to take this kind of we know a number of our listeners are interested in betting and definitely will be getting in on the action when college basketball starts up here. What advice would you give for people early in the season? And are there a couple of teams that you personally are really excited to back early in the year?
Yeah. Overall, with betting, whether it's college basketball or not, manage your bankroll. That's one of the biggest pieces of advice I can give. You do not want to, even if you think a matchup is super favorable, and let's say you're just starting to sign up with a sports book and you're like, okay, I'm going to put down all the money I deposited on this team. Just be careful when you're first getting into betting. I know it can be tantalizing with college basketball tipping off, or for any of your listeners that are interested in betting the NFL, just kind of take it a week by week, game by game, the same mantra that with that maybe some coaches have in terms of coach speak. But When it comes to teams that I am bullish on, maybe we could take it futures first. Yeah. A couple of futures I have, one that I most recently bet in the last month or so was Creighton. I got a rogue 40-1. I think the best number on the Blue Jays is around 35-1. And I liked this team last year, but losing Ryan Nemhard and getting Steven Ashworth from Utah State, on top of the fact that you're bringing back Trey Alexander, Baylor Shireman, and Ryan Kalkbrenner, who I actually think is an underrated Wooden Award candidate. But back to Ashworth, I don't want to call it addition by subtraction necessarily between Ashworth and Nemhard, but adding a guy like Ashworth that can really space the floor, and I don't think is a massive, massive drop-off from Nemhard in terms of what Nemhard brings to the defensive end and as a facilitator. Creighton's offense is going to be that much better. And then you add in Alexander's added in ball handling responsibilities in his own right, and what he did at that position going back to when Nemhard was hurt a couple of years ago. I mean, Creighton gave Kansas a run for their money in the round of 32, going back to Creighton's NCAA tournament trip 2 years ago before they lost in the Elite Eight to San Diego State down to the wire this past March Madness. So I like Creighton's offensive upside. I also think defensively, when you have a rim protector like that, a Ryan Kalkbrenner that adjusts opposing offenses and keeps Creighton's floor defensively as a top 20 unit, I think Creighton has upside to make a Final Four run this year, which may go without saying considering they were within the Elite Eight. But the added offensive efficiency that they're going to get with a guy like Ashworth in McDermott's floor-spacing offense, I'm very bullish on Creighton. A team that I talked with you guys about in earlier in the summer, I want to say, was another Big Ten team in Maryland.
Yep.
Probably isn't what Illini fans want to hear, considering Maryland is going to be in competition with Illinois for the middle of the pack or upper echelon of the middle of the pack in the Big Ten standings. But I really like what I've heard and seen from these freshman guards that they're getting in Deshaun Aaron Smith and Jamie Kaiser, two guys that fit perfectly in Kevin Willard's press, which Maryland pressed at the 18th highest rate last year. And I'm really curious to see how Illinois handles that this year, especially with Ty Rogers. But just on the surface, getting athletes like that that fit perfectly in the defensive scheme that Willard wants, that's truly one of those long-term investments that you may not see come to fruition.